We're in the first five verses of the chapter. Verse number one. Who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight, and stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father, heaven blessed tonight, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified and honored, that your word, that what we see here in your word would be clear. Lord, that you would use it to strengthen us and to draw us closer to you. Lord, please use it to be a help in the lives of those sitting here. Lord, I pray this time would not be in vain, but Lord, that you would use it to strengthen us and to give us guidance and help us to have what we need here with this, Lord, the wisdom, the interpretation, and discernment. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I began this message, of course, a couple of weeks ago, right before I left. And I got in just the initial part, and the time of it was amazing. I think it was on the same day as the inauguration. And the context of this is dealing, of course, with human government. It's dealing with, in particular, really, not necessarily a good government, a wicked government. Solomon, again, in his old age, is looking back on his life, a man who the Bible says at one point loved God. That's exactly what it says about him. He loved God, but then he had his heart turned. And he went from loving God to loving many strange women, and things changed. Now he's looking back on life. He's seeing the vanity. He's giving out a lot of wisdom right here from a man who actually has a lot of regret. And it's amazing, again, as we went through, as we're going through this book, looking at the person that Solomon is, how the Lord had a man in place that had every opportunity imaginable to try and find purpose in life apart from God. He had the position, he had the power, he had the money. If anybody could find a purpose in life or fulfillment in life or genuine happiness in life apart from the Creator, Solomon was in a position to do it. And now he's writing about his conclusion. It's all vanity. He tried everything. We've covered that. And now he's given out different tidbits of wisdom. And really, he's looking at his own kingdom here. He knows who's coming in after him. He knows his son is a fool. He sees the danger that is coming. He recognizes it. He's already heard the prophecy that the kingdom is going to be torn in half, that it's going to be divided. That's already taken place. Remember, he then tried to have Jeroboam arrested, and he fled, knowing what Solomon was doing. Solomon is not going to stop the prophecies of God, though. But anyhow, he's looking back at his own reign here, and he is dealing with government. And last week, we really looked at verses 2, 3, and 4, and a portion of 5. It's all set by verse 1 and the conclusion of verse 5, and that's what we're going to focus on for this. But we looked at it in relation to human government last week, and I talked about several different things. I'll run through them here very quickly. We looked at how human government is ordained of God. We see it coming into play in Genesis chapter 9. We see, and important for us to remember as Christians, the powers that be are ordained of God. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. God was not surprised at what happened in our election. He wasn't surprised. The powers that be are ordained of God. We looked at that. We can think of even the life of Pilate being the example. Christ told Pilate, when Pilate referenced his own authority, "Don't you know what I could do to you?" The Lord reminded him, "You could do nothing if it wasn't given to you from above." We looked at that. We looked at the need to pray for our government. That's commanded in the Bible, and all the different words to describe prayer that's used there. Prayer, supplication, asking, on and on is given to it. So we looked at all of that last week. We talked about his words in those couple of verses about the importance of keeping the king's commandment, of being obedient to the government. Solomon dealing with that. He brings up, said, be not hasty to go out of the king's sight. And that's dealing with, you know, somebody who was in the king's sight that was ready and obedient was there. Somebody who was hasty is dealing with disobedience, disrespect, has another loyalty that's not to the king. And he says, listen, you better be careful with that. And, he said, that's something to think through. You're going to need wisdom, interpretation, and discernment if you're deciding that you have to go against the government. Why did he say that? Because there's power there. There's power and authority that is there. There often comes a time when there is a need to be disobedient to a government, when a government asks of a citizen to do something that is directly against God. We have biblical examples of that. We talked about those. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel himself. And we looked at Daniel and his disposition before the governments that he ruled in was just incredible. He is truly the ultimate example of this. And how he always stood for what was right, but the disposition he had under the Babylonian, Medes, and Persian is just incredible. He is a great example. He warns about not standing in an evil thing. If there's evil taking place, we have no business being in it. Because, again, there's power there, and the government can and will enforce laws against that, where you'll face the consequences. We talked about where there are times to question the government. Esther going before her husband, Elijah before Ahab, Moses before Pharaoh, Samuel before Saul. But now, what I want to stress for this message, what we didn't get to, was really the bulk of it, what he was driving at. That when you're dealing with human government, especially when you're dealing with an evil government, a government that's not about the Lord, what you're going to need is wisdom, interpretation, and discernment. Those three things are critical. More than any other generation in the United States of America, are we the generation of Christians that is in desperate need in dealing with our government of wisdom, interpretation, and discernment. All three are different. And if we're going to be successful and be the light that we need to be right now, we have to stay on target. We have to stay on course. We have to keep the main thing, our life being about Christ and glorifying God. And as we are dealing with a government, remember, I brought this up last on the introduction. This is in my lifetime, it's the first time we have seen progressives in control of the three seats of power of the United States. It's happened before, but not in my lifetime, 61 to 69. That was the case. So this is the first time we're seeing that in my lifetime. And this is also the first time, even when Obama was president and Clinton, there was never actually anything that I was perceiving as a genuine, solid threat at the moment to Christians. I don't believe that's true right now. I think we can see things change rapidly towards Christianity. I think the culture is set for it. The things are in place. I don't know if the Lord's going to allow it to happen. I have no idea, but we do need to be prepared. This year, just like last year in 2020, more than any other time, as a pastor and as Christians, did we need wisdom, interpretation, and discernment in how to respond. Again, that's just going to increase as we go through the next several years right now. So he brackets off this dealing with wisdom, interpretation, and discernment. Let's first get into wisdom. He shows how wisdom will give us a humble confidence that is clear to all. It changes us. It affects us. In verse 1, who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of things? I'll cover interpretation next. A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. He's saying when a man has wisdom, and remember the context is government right now. When a man has wisdom, there's going to be a right boldness that goes with it. A humble boldness, if you will, that's going to be there to where when he acts, he's acting with a measure of confidence. When he makes a decision, it's with confidence. It's not, what am I doing? What's going on? What now? There's a measure of confidence there. It affects his countenance, the very way that he looks. In other words, they're not going to be fearing man. They'll have confidence from the God-given wisdom where anxiety isn't taking over. There's a boldness and a confidence, not anxiety. Daniel, again, is a great example of this. He was a man of confidence. You think, going back to Daniel chapter 1, when he was asking, the boldness it took to ask, I don't want to eat the king's meat. Let me have my own diet. There is a measure of boldness for him to do that. Think of the position he is in. God honored it and God blessed it. He was the man that was using wisdom. He acted with confidence. Why? Because of the wisdom that he had from God. He knew how to respond. And remember, you can even go back to Daniel chapter 1. Even after they did that, of course, it had to do with the diet that they're eating. But the man saw it in Daniel. The wisdom. In his countenance. The Bible tells us wisdom is the principal thing. It's worth all the praying. It's worth all the seeking, the effort, the diligence that the book of Proverbs stressed to go after, to seek for silver and gold, to be begging God for wisdom. And the day we are coming into, we are going to need wisdom in dealing with our government. The Bible stresses the importance of it. It is wisdom that gives us the ability to make the right decisions. I mean, think about that. Wouldn't that be great to have the ability to make the right decision every single time? I mean, just every single time to be able to make the right decision. There's people like that we see that have that level of wisdom in the Bible. By the way, notice, Solomon made wrong. He had wisdom, but he made wrong decisions, didn't he? Let's compare for a second here. I'm going to get off track. This is a rabbit trail, not my notes, but it would have been good to put in my notes right now. If we were to compare the wisdom of Joseph and the wisdom of Solomon, both were wise men. Both starting off, and one stayed with it, one did not, loving God and seeking Him. The key with the wisdom is still going to be seeking God. Wisdom gives you the ability to make the right decisions. It'd be great to make the right decisions at our workplaces, with our coworkers, with our spouses, with our children, instead of just acting on the ways of the world, the ways of the culture, and being able to discern what is right here. Will this hurt my child if I allow this, or will it help him? To have the discernment, the wisdom to make that call. Do you not think the Lord wants to provide it to us? He does. And again, and think what we could potentially be facing as a local church with the change in government to the United States. For the most part, for those that use social media, you know, for the most part, they sort of gear your social media to you. If you're a conservative, you'll view conservative stuff. And at times, I'll go to some of my relatives who I know are extreme liberals. And wow, the hatred that's just coming through there. The hatred. Usually towards Christianity. Wisdom, according to the Bible, for time's sake, I'm not going to turn there, but we know it from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. It is wisdom that not only allows you to make right decision, it is actually wisdom that allows you to brace for the storms of life. It's wisdom that's teaching you to put into your life the things you need when the storm comes, so that your life is not built upon sand. Wisdom is what directs how we build our life. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we have, of course, with Solomon, it is wisdom which allows us to accomplish God's will and God's service. So Solomon, it begs God for wisdom. Solomon could have anything. At that point, of course, he still had the heart for God, and you see him, Lord, just give me the wisdom that I need. I'm trying to remember the verse. I used to be able to quote it word for word, to where he asked God to give him the wisdom he needed to discern and to judge, to be the king that he needed to be. He wasn't asking for himself. He wanted to honor God. So does wisdom, which allows us to accomplish God's will. We know from Proverbs chapter 3 and several other chapters, but chapter 3, I read from 13 on down, it is wisdom that actually leads to genuine joy in your life. It's not the next job. It's not the next pay raise. It's not the next house. It's God's wisdom, because you're making right decisions. It comes with a measure of confidence in your life. You're settled. There's peace. And we're going to see why, as that ties in with where we're going, interpretation and discernment. Wisdom is the foundation. You're never going to have the interpretation or discernment without wisdom. You won't have it. Wisdom comes first. Now, interpretation, he mentions in verse 1. This is interesting. The word used here for interpretation is only used here and in portions of the book of Daniel when Daniel was dealing with the Chaldeans. It's a Chaldean word. It's different than a word like in Genesis, speaking back to Joseph, where Joseph interpreted dreams. Completely unrelated. Not even close to the same meaning. The meaning of the word interpretation here is this. Remember, he's putting this in context of government, so it's very interesting. It means to find a solution or deal properly with a difficult situation. That's what this word means. Interpretation. The word that's used here means it is finding a solution to a difficult situation or how to deal properly with a difficult situation. That's what he says we need. We're going to need that. We're going to need wisdom and we're going to need interpretation because we're going to be faced with different problems. The one thing that King Solomon did for a living, basically, as king, was listen to problems and try and find a solution. Multitudes upon multitudes came to him for his wisdom and his help when they had a problem. They wanted to hear his view of it. Remember, that's what started off his popularity. He had the two harlots that came to him. One of their babies had died. They were both born about the exact same time. One of them had died. You know the story. The one mother said, well, she slept on her baby died, so she took my baby, and they came, and both are claiming the child. And Solomon's wisdom was incredible. Give me a sword. And of course, they're all standing. What's he doing? And he orders one of them, cut the child in half, just give out half to each. And of course, the real mother spoke up, Solomon, knowing what would happen. Solomon was not going to allow the child to be cut in half. The real mother spoke up and said, No, let her have it. And then he knew. He had interpretation. He solved a difficult problem. We are in for some difficult situations as a church as we decide which way to go. We need the ability to solve those problems and deal properly with them. We're going to need interpretation. Especially when it comes to government. Think of last year when we had to deal with coronavirus as a church, when all that hit. In trying to decide as a pastor which way to go, I can show you texts from both sides, from people coming at me all different angles. This is what we should do, this is what we should do, this way. Phone calls. And trying to figure out, okay, which way do we go here? That was a matter of needing what this word describes, interpretation. What is the right course of action to take? Which way do we go? Knowing, regardless of whatever decision you make, which sort of makes it easier, because you know, whatever decision you make, you're going to have a portion of the people that disagree. So then you can just settle it. That just doesn't matter. You just remove that from it, because some people are just not going to be happy regardless. But you have to try and decide what honors God. What honors God? Trying to drown out the different voices and the different opinions that are flying around. We certainly need the ability to handle properly difficult situations. This is getting into the practical side of wisdom interpretation. This is getting to a much, he's dealing with it, sort of a practical area that involves wisdom. It's using wisdom the right way. And again, I think it's possible we could be facing difficult decisions in relation to our government. We should not be ignorant. Listen, things have changed drastically. Again, keep in mind what I've been saying since probably, especially June, probably began to voice it more in June with the uprisings that were taking place. And just how easily the nation was divided with hatred. Completely manipulated. With things that weren't true, but hatred was driving. And it was coming from all sides. We as a church, at times, are going to be faced and trying to figure out what is the right course of action. We will be faced with difficult situations. And just like he's saying here, this context is in relation to human government. And when you're making decisions whether to stand in the king's presence or to make a call to disobey, knowing that there's authority there in the hand of a king, you had better have wisdom and interpretation. And then lastly, he gets to discernment. He says in verse number 5, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil, shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. So we'll need wisdom, we need interpretation, and now he goes to discernment. He mentions two things specifically why discernment is important: time and judgment. This is the ability to do the right thing at the right time. Knowing when to act, knowing how to act and when to act. It's the ability of following the Lord's timing, not being impulsive, not acting on emotion, but knowing when to act and how to act. As Christians, many times we are content just thinking we know the right thing to do and give little discernment to when to do the right thing. We can get the time all wrong. Let me give a simple illustration of that if that's confusing. Now, I've spent time, I've been working ever since I've been 16, every single day, you know, primarily at a department store for the bulk of the years. I went from working at Big Lots for several years during my high school years, right to a steel factory, worked at the steel factory, stopped working there on a Friday, left that Monday for the Air Force, not knowing until that Saturday I was actually going in the Air Force. And as a Christian, I am commanded to witness and give the gospel. Is that the right thing to do? It is. But I had better make sure I'm giving the gospel out at the right time. If I'm supposed to be working in the middle of a project, that might not be the time to give the gospel out. You need to make sure it's the right time. We too are going to need discernment with coming laws that could be passed. You know, again, I think one thing that I think I'm going to rely on a lot and dive in deeper just on a personal level, not so much for sermons, is still studying how Daniel handled the governments he dealt with. I mean, again, we can go to Daniel chapter 6 and see when the law was signed at, what was the date? Was it 30 days? I can't remember. 30-day decree that you could not pray to any other god and all that. I think it was 30 days. But Daniel was known for praying. And he knew. It's the specific example we have in the Bible where he purposely, directly disobeyed the king. But you know what? He was more than willing at the moment. As far as Daniel knew, it was going to cost him his life. He knew when he had to make that decision himself, all right, this is the right thing to do. And you get to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. He said, when Daniel knew that the decree was signed, he went to his window aforetime and prayed. You know, he could have went and hid. He could have just went to the back and said, all right, I usually pray out my window. I'm just going to duck down here and pray. Could he not have done that? What would have been the problem with that? Why didn't he choose that course? Why was there no wisdom in that? Why did he, in his interpretation of facing a difficult solution, why did he not go that route? It certainly was the easiest way out. And just because it's the easiest way out doesn't mean that it's wrong. But he determined that's not right. Where did he pray again? In his window. So if he doesn't pray in that window, what does everybody think? He's following the king's command. He knew he could not allow that. He knew, I got to go to my window as I always do. Which is what he did. And of course, we all know the Lord chose to deliver him. He had discernment. And I believe we're coming to a time more than any other generation in the United States of America, we're going to need a strong measure of discernment. Discernment does a lot for us. It lets you know if something is right or wrong. Discernment is the ability to look at an action, I can cover it in so many different ways. It lets you determine if you're dealing with something that is moral, amoral, or immoral. It's discernment that allows that to take place. Would you not agree, as our culture has progressed away from Christ and become much more secular and humanistic, that the churches have struggled in discernment as to what is right and wrong? They absolutely have. There's a cross-section just within, let's just take independent Baptist churches right now. Across the board, those of us who are independent Baptists, all trying to follow the same book, and yet there's a great difference in level of discernment as to what's moral and what's immoral. It is the Lord's discernment that we need, that we can look at something and say, oh, I see it. I think it's in Colossians chapter 1. Let me go there. It's chapter 1 of one of those. We might go through all of Paul's epistles right now until I get to it, but I think it's Colossians chapter 1. It might be Philippians. I think it's Colossians. Let me see. There's a verse here that deals with this when he was talking to the church of Colossae. This is it, but I'm having trouble seeing the exact verse that I want. He doesn't use the word discernment here, but he does deal with their need to be able to determine what's right or wrong. For this cause, since in verse 9, let me see if I'm getting there. For this cause, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk, worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. That's it right there. Those two verses. What was he telling the church there? He said, listen, you're going to need God's wisdom. You're going to need this knowledge, if you will, so that you can walk worthy of God. He's telling them, you're going to need to be able to discern what's right and what's wrong. We need that. It is discernment that gives us the ability to say, I can see it. I can see where the end of this is. Think back to decisions you made that you did not think through, where you lacked discernment. Where in the end, where at the moment, it seemed like the right call, but you didn't think it through to the end. And then at the end, you're like, oh, I should have saw that. I should have saw that. You lack discernment. You lack discernment. Discernment is what lets us determine when something is right or wrong. It gives us that ability. It also does something else. Now, I'll finish with this. This is very important. It's discernment in Scripture, when you trail it out, that gives you the ability to have proper perspective. In other words, let's say in your life you're going through a series of trials and heartaches and you're living 20-20 out every day in your life. It's just a person that lacks this discernment would be prone to say something like this: God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Almost getting angry and bitter at God. It is discernment, Scripture, that allows you to be able to look at the situation from the proper perspective. Where instead of, for instance, in the example I gave, when you're going through the trying times and blaming God for it, it's where you can see, no, the Lord's the one I need to run to, not blame. It's discernment that allows that. It's discernment that can step back and see the situation you're in and remember the goodness of God and not blame Him. It's discernment. It allows you to have proper perspective. Because so often, just like we're all flesh, we can go around and say, that's not fair. It's unfair. I think it's the favorite word in America. It's just not fair. It's discernment that allows you to get free from that trap of being worried about fairness and just saying, I see where God's in this. I see where God's in this. It's discernment that allows you to see where, even during trials, how God can help you and it doesn't have to hurt you. So, as our country comes to a brand new chapter. And for many Christians, there's a level of anxiety there. But listen, the Lord gives us the tools that we need. Again, I think it's just amazing. We happen to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 right now with this everything that's going on. In our individual lives, with our families, and as a church, and as a pastor, we are going to need wisdom, interpretation. And again, remember the definition of that word. It's unique. The ability to solve difficult situations. To make the right call. And discernment. To discern, okay, what's right and wrong here? Do you think needed just a little bit of discernment when we started going through COVID? How many other pastors went through that in the past? None. And trying, okay, wait, what's right and what's, and trying to find, okay, I need principles to guide. And we could be faced with many more situations. Listen, those of you who have been on mission trips in different places in the world, especially where the gospel is not allowed in a measure of freedom, where you've been to the underground churches because it's against the law. Things can change rapidly. Where all of a sudden we need a measure of discernment and wisdom, and how do we respond? What do we do? What do we do? With heads bowed and eyes closed. Christian, before our government and in our own personal lives, we need wisdom, interpretation, the ability to solve difficult problems, to make the right call, and discernment in determining what's right and what's wrong and keeping proper perspective. We need these in our life. There's anyone here say, Pastor, listen, I really, my salvation has been bothering me. I am not certain that I am saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Please, I need you to pray for me. It's been bothering me. If that's you, just raise your hand. Let me see it. Just put your hand up and let me see it. Then you can put it back down. See, just a couple of small children is all I'm seeing. All right, Christian, if you need to come and pray, you come and pray. Father in heaven, bless this invitation. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Turn to page 175, and if you need to come and pray, you come and pray.